You're listening to episode 88 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Unbearable Lightness of Advertising. Anyways, let's talk about something else.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! Woohoo! And so Yahoo is, they're trying to become an internet portal again.
They're not?
Well, they're trying to become a bigger one.
A relevant one, perhaps?
Or what?
A relevant internet portal?
Yeah, that's, yeah, probably. The actual title of this Wired article is, Marissa Mayer is bringing back the internet portal. Here's why.
Let's see. I haven't been to the Yahoo portal in a while. Mail, news, finance, sports, movies, OMG, Shine, auto, shopping, travel, dating, jobs. Trends, so, weather, quotes, scores, Flickr, news. Looks like a portal.
It does look like a huge portal.
Very purple.
And soon they're going to be...
horoscopes. So, says here, listen carefully. When that friend or colleague pulls you aside and offers some advice, it may be too easy to brush them off, but try to let the word sink in. It's sure to inspire a positive change.
Oh, man. That is a good...
That's for Geminis.
Yeah. What about the Libras? Not Libras. I'm a Leo.
Let's see here. Not your sign. What are you? You're a Leo.
I'm a Leo. Leo the lion.
You're filled with great mental energy and are utterly receptive to new knowledge. So open up to whatever comes your way. It's a really good time to take a new class or to explore a different culture.
Nice. I'm going to be going... Well, I mean, I actually...
Let's see here. Mine, which you're not going to say. Oh, here we go. Romance is a definite possibility today, but it's not all you've got going on. Ain't that true? Make sure that you're keeping your eyes open for new job prospects or social opportunities, too. Maybe I'm going to meet someone at Arby's tonight.
Oh, man. Dude, horoscopes are so ridiculous. I know.
I love the... I got to get this song. I've been thinking of this, and maybe you're the one that I need to talk to. Is I used to have a whole bunch of Weird Al songs, and somehow in the shuffle of life, I no longer have them. And his horoscope song was hilarious.
I don't know if I still have it. But yeah, that was a great song.
You will have a great day, and you'll be walking down the street, and then you'll get hit by a bus. You're just like, what?
I gotta say, I wish horoscopes were just like oddly specific. Andrew, watch out for George.
And do not talk to girls named Amy for a week.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see that that one? There was a, it was a, who was it? Cartoon Network had an ad, and they were like, and it was, you know, pick a card, any card, and it was like, do you have any, are you visualizing the card in your head? And then all of a sudden it popped up, is it a seven of diamonds? And then it like goes away, and then it comes back up, and it's like, there's like 1,000 of you out there that are totally freaked out right now. That's awesome. Yeah, that's probably true.
That's funny.
But so anyways, Yahoo. They bought Tumblr. Mm-hmm. They're kickstarting Flickr. Mm-hmm. And they're doing some big stuff right now, buying companies and recreating a conglomerate that they can bring everything together in. And one of the reasons why this is interesting is because one of the ways that they tore apart the competition, whether it was Ask Jeeves or Dogpile or Yahoo, as search engine competitors, was that they offered a site that all it had was a search bar and a button to search. Mm-hmm. You know, there was so few elements in it, and it created this environment that people wanted to go and use it for searching. And what it was part of a movement on the internet that was really about specialization and and creating a bunch of different services that did one thing and did it incredibly well. And you know, it really tore apart your old, they were like 10 years old at this point. But your old guard of the internet, like your AOLs and your Yahoos, what they had become were these giant conglomerates. They had a bunch of different services all tied together, and they did them all right. But they did everything. So you'd go to one place and they would act as your portal. And so the movement has then turned hardcore away from that to hyper specialization, a website that does one thing. And all of a sudden Marissa Meyer is basically, and she worked for Google. I mean, like, she was part of the, that was like her upbringing was we build specialized services, and then, you move forward from that and you don't tie them all together. Well, Google obviously has kind of moved back in the direction of becoming a giant portal, because they do all sorts of different stuff, that you could do. And so this Wired magazine is basically going, Marissa Meyer is taking one of the plays out of the Google playbook, which is to bring in a bunch of different services that people use. And where Google has built services and in some cases, bought services, whether like YouTube or Gmail or Maps. Google Drive.
They made Gmail. They bought...
Well, they didn't buy Maps, did they?
Yeah, well, they bought the original Map stuff and then Googlefied it and made it better. Same with their Documents and Drive.
Right. Oh yeah, that's true, and YouTube. So I guess my point is whereas Yahoo 10 seems like they're not Yahooifying things quite as much. They're just bringing in a bunch of different services, and I thought it was really interesting that the question of why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. What is the strategy behind this? And
that's a great question.
Yeah, because that's what everybody's thinking. And I've read a lot of different opinions on this, and people who say it's just a huge mistake. They're just like flailing around looking for anything that will give them some sort of an edge. They're just throwing stuff against the wall. I've read stuff that's saying that they're just trying to bring back the portal. But I think Wire finally really nailed it. Yahoo's going to start doing advertising. They have realized that the value on the internet, the biggest value on the internet, is knowing things about users. And the only way to know things about users is to have a bunch of different services that they use. Think about your two biggest online things right now, or your three biggest online services right now. Amazon, Google, and Facebook. And universally, their biggest thing that they have going for them is that they know an unbelievable amount about what you like and what you do.
True.
Amazon and Google are particularly well poised because they are showing you what they think you want to know when you're looking for something. Facebook is in this weird place of you're not actually looking for any products, but they know what kind of products you might want. So there's a bit of a problem with their advertising model in that they're trying to advertise to you when you're not actually looking for products.
Which, did you see that Zuckerberg recently denied that they're working on an ad network again?
Yeah.
Nick's seen that one. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
He's a liar. The idea that they're not like working on it to some degree is just,
we're not releasing one anytime soon, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I think Zuck learned that one from Jobs, in that, just blatantly, no, we're not doing that. That's a stupid idea.
What are you talking about?
That? Yeah. 3 months later. But so what's interesting here is that's basically, I think, what I completely agree on this, is that this is what Yahoo's doing. The goal here is to, they bought Tumblr as a source of getting information about people. They want to become a data mining company again, and they want to get a number of services that have a huge cross-section of users so that you can get as much information about different people and put that stuff all over the place. And Yahoo has got a number of different services, you know, whether it's, you know, weather, this mm-hmm. or that or whatever. And I feel like they actually are, you know, a lot of people are criticizing them, saying that this is a ridiculous strategy, it'll never work. But I actually don't think it's that bad of a strategy. I think that they have a website where, especially, you know, particular, I think that they have a website that will help them as they, you know, or what am I trying to say here? I think what Google does best is they help you buy stuff. Amazon helps you buy things. Mm-hmm. If Facebook can figure out how to help you buy things and then advertise, they all of a sudden they would completely turn around their advertising dilemma. And I think I almost never use Yahoo, so I like don't know how good their, you know, their different storefront stuff is. But yeah, it's almost worth trying to figure that out just for the sake of it. But I think that it's actually a pretty clever little idea that they're working on here. You know, building up a network of knowledge base. And all of a sudden, it's funny, when you compare and contrast that to previous CEOs of Yahoo, and, you know, how terrible and, you know, and floundering their strategies were, you're like, I can see why everybody's super stoked about Yahoo and why their stock is just skyrocketing. Because even if this doesn't work, at least it's a vision that like works for some people, you know? And then in that context, you know, a gigantic purchase of a major blooming social network in Tumblr that could be dead in less than a year because it's the hot new club right now and may be the stupid club in 6 months, you know, all of a sudden it makes sense though in that context of, yeah, but it's still going to give us a ton of information about users. It's, you know, as long as it's part of this giant thing, it's like, why is Google Plus still great? Because Google Plus still has a ton of information about a lot of different people, and it generates that information and it allows them to put that somewhere and I think as we look at Yahoo and what they do, I think we definitely need to keep in mind that that's the goal. That's the game plan, to build up a knowledge base of their users, of everybody on the internet, and they want to compete with Facebook and Google and Amazon on knowing everything about you so that they can sell that information to the highest bidder. It's interesting, though. I feel like it actually explains it for the first time.
Yeah, I could see that. Do you think they'll be able to pull it off?
Man, they've pulled off surviving for an awful long time.
Yeah,
I think that's true. I'm gonna say, I think something that I think they. What?
So I'm in this house like all alone. Yeah. And I caught out of the corner of my eye what looked like to be something standing there.
Oh jeez.
Completely freaked me out. It's the vacuum cleaner. But for like that half second, I was like, oh my word.
That's awesome.
Mini freak out there. Sweet.
Yeah, now your blood's going. Okay. Heart rate up.
I'm awake. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I've been encouraged by a couple of their apps. Their iPhone weather app is really cool.
That's what everybody's saying.
It's not quite like WeatherSpark, which is a web, which is a desktop only app, and which is like, that's my go-to if I have a choice, because I'm a data guy myself. But yeah, no, it looks really cool. I've liked some of the other updates they're doing. I think Tumblr is a pretty cool service, as you can tell. I use it a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. I'm rooting for them. The product's got to be better than anybody else's. I'd be shocked if I ever switched to search with them or switch over to their mail system. That sounds pretty incredible to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I sit there going, okay, if I'm rooting for them and I want them to be successful, how do I envision myself using them in the future? Because I feel pretty good about my mail and calendar and contacts with Google. I don't see that changing anytime soon, and I think they feel that way too. With a lot of the productivity apps, I do like Google Finance more than Yahoo Finance. But I don't know.
I think, weirdly enough, right now, I am not invested in any photo ecosystem online storage, and that's been the big one. And I actually think the fact that they give you like an unbelievable amount of storage for your photos is something that every time I think about putting stuff online, if I'm putting it on Facebook, it's just so that I can show off that I was doing cool things.
Yeah.
But for actual storage and putting it, all last week I've been thinking I should get a Flickr. I should go on to Flickr. I should sign up for Flickr.
I'm on there. You can friend me. And they got to figure out, like, they got to take it to that next step, I think, where they, in addition to being able to show it online, they should include some form of photo management and maybe editing. But more importantly, I want to be able to have it be that central hub where I can download at will, I can upload at will to multiple devices where they got APIs and everything syncs beautifully, and I can share if I wanted to. You know what I mean? I just want... Yeah. I want it to be similar, it doesn't have to be exactly, but similar to a desktop style application that happens to live in a cloud. And what would be fantastic and amazing, Apple will never do this, but so, you know, can't worry about it. But if it could sync to, say, like iPhoto in the same way that Mail syncs to an IMAP service.
Right.
That'd be the holy grail.
And I think that right now there's an opportunity for them there, and I think I guess what my point is, you're asking what service would I use. To me, off the top of my head, I'd use Flickr and Tumblr. I don't know what I would use Tumblr for, because I'm not much of a micro blogger,
not a content creator.
But Flickr is, I mean, that's compelling, and I can understand why people are using Tumblr right now, and I can see how those sorts of services, you know, do something unique and different and could be a competition. Yeah, I'm not going to change my Gmail, but I'm not going to move away from Gmail, I guess. But, you know, the reality of it is, if they had a better... You know, if they had a better portal somehow, or a better on, you know, internet mail product, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't just import all my mail over there as opposed to into Gmail, because that's what I do with Gmail. You know, I got like 9 different email addresses, and they all, you know, and all I use Gmail for is as a central hub for all my emails. And, you know, if I could do the same thing with Yahoo and it was a better one, so, you know, in some way, I could see that. But I don't know. It's an interesting question. But I think they're at least moving in the right direction. They're doing something which is better than what they were doing. So
yeah.
But I don't know. So,
here we are. In your pause, I'm going to take an opportunity here.
Go for it.
We've reached the part of the show, folks, where it's a little less scripted, which I know is hard to believe. But another thing that happened at All Things D was Mary Meeker gave her presentation on the future of mobile wearables and Facebook, the internet in general. We've talked about her a couple times. She was the one who brought up that whole like asset light versus asset heavy concept,
right?
Yeah, which I loved and have used a couple times, and people are like, what, you're weird. Like, no, think about it, it works. Anyways, she gave an update and I wanted to share a couple of the things. There was like 100 slides total and we're not going to go through all of them, but a couple of the things that she talked about, or, you know, her insights, whatever you want to call them, is that there are 2.4 billion internet users.
And ooh, that's a lot of us.
Increased 8%, which is cool, mostly in Iran and Indonesia, which is cool. and mobile is growing at 30% growth rate, not just at the 8. So it's on a tear, which is pretty sweet. She also said that the last few decades were about the rise of the personal computer and the smartphone. She says the next few decades will be about wearable computing, like Google Glass and fitness tracking bracelets, as well as other stuff like drones and smart cars. And she's talking about how that's going to drive the personal data revolution.
What does she mean by the personal data revolution?
Ah, great question, which was her next big topic. And she said that people are getting used to uploading and sharing little bits about their detail. She said that's going to accelerate significantly. And she goes, photos are still the most popular, but they'll also start sharing like personal data, whether it's your steps or your weight or stuff like that. And they'll also be able to share like videos and sound files, and you know, just you will be able to upload a whole bunch of more and more personal types of data, not just photos or status updates. I'm here, or location, you know, at this concert. It'll be a whole bunch of other, you know, types of things, which will be enabled by these, I guess you would say, there. As you add more sensors to your life, we will tend to share the output of those sensors.
That's interesting, because I find that I'm not the type of person who shares what I'm having for lunch, because I'm not, because I don't want to share what I'm having for lunch, because I feel judged for it, because everybody gets made fun of for tweeting about their lunch.
I post photos of my dog all the time. I don't care.
Yeah. And I guess, but it's interesting with the Fitbit. Like, one of the things I thought was interesting, I kept thinking about doing was like tweeting how many steps that I've taken, or, you know, like sharing it on Facebook or stuff. Cause they have like that functionality built into the app, which was cool. But at the same time, I was like, this is boring. Does anybody really want to know this?
Well, and wish there was something where it's like only tweet if I get above like 20,000 or I set a 6-month high.
That does sort of give that kind of ability. Yeah, I mean, like, it's not just a tweet every day when how many steps I walked. It's like I hit a milestone, tweet about it.
I had a friend who was every day it would update, it would tweet out and do a Facebook status update because they were linked. His Xbox Live, how many Xbox achievement points he earned the previous day.
Oh, geez.
And he played a lot of video games, and so it was like every day he'd earn somewhere between like 20 and 50.
Holy cow. Like,
come on, dude. That's boring.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Give me something interesting. Well, what I do think is interesting is part of the Fitbit app is everybody uses a Fitbit, or if you have like friends, it'll basically keeps a running total for the week of how many steps you've taken. So you can compete with everybody else, which
that's
I have fallen far behind. I'd say I haven't fallen far behind. I'm now the number 2 because I haven't been able to take any. I haven't walked for the last 2 days, according to Fitbit. Was the leader. but all of a sudden I did. You know, in that context, yeah, man, I'm not going to tweet about how many steps I take because that's lame. But I will compete against anybody else who's using the same device. come on, man, let's make a competition about it, especially because I was winning. I could see that. I could totally see that. And Vine, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, last week, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to get into Vine more, and so I've posted some videos, and I have friends that are starting to make more videos all of a sudden. And I totally buy that. And I think what's interesting is that I think there's a tendency to think that when she says you're going to share it more, it means you're going to post the football to Facebook, but I don't think that's true. And at least that's not my tendency necessarily. My tendency is more to have your smaller networks of people that actually care about this, specifically
that's fair.
People that have trackers.
As
but
it should
that
be.
Doesn't mean that I'm but that doesn't mean I'm not going to do that. It does me actually means I'm going to do it more, and I'm going to do it. You know, I will share in those communities as long as you give me that opportunity to do it. I think products that do that and they focus less on the broader social network and more on the more local, you know, important, you know, the social network, the keep it in the network where the information is important. I think those will be the really early succeeders.
Where people are known to be interested in it.
Exactly.
Because they themselves do it.
Exactly.
Makes sense. Also, here's a big surprise. Facebook still dominates social media activity.
Whoa.
And they are doing good with their transition to mobile. But there are other companies such as Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, and Pinterest that are all doing well, too. And then she talks about the rise of the visual web, which is, like, you know, on average, more than 500 million photos are shared each day. That's a lot. Snapchat is actually the biggest, which is kind of
a photo share.
Yeah, Facebook, then Instagram. She said that Snapchat is really interesting because none of that content flows through the private messaging because none of it's findable, essentially. And she said that, like, there's this secular move for a generation to upload everything, but it doesn't have to be findable, which is kind of weird.
It is weird, but
which gets back to your mini network thing,
right? And I read that article, or I read somewhere that statistic that Snapchat shares more photos than anybody else, and by a tremendous amount. And I find that to be completely true in my life. I send way more photos and get way more photos through Snapchat and I only have like 6 people that I use Snapchat with. I'm like, which is weird to think about, you know. And although I have a bigger network of people that I can use it from, I find that there's only like 6 that I actually share it with. I'm more willing to share the photo because I know that those 6 people are going to care, and I know that they won't care, and it'll just go away after 10 seconds, you know. And I would argue that for Snapchat, it's way less about the fact that it's there and then it's gone, that it deletes it, because me and all the people that I use it with, we don't share anything that would get us in any trouble on any level with anybody. They're totally banal photos, but it's the fact that it's a small network of people, and it's just really quick and easy to share your photos and your videos. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. And
makes you think that Path was really kind of ahead of its time in terms of being a private social network.
Yeah.
Or it was, they were trying to be a private general social network. Yeah. And what they really should have done was focused on one of them and just done that.
Yeah. I think so. I agree. But that's fascinating.
It's almost like you provide some sort of functionality and then you just share within that community. Like your Fitbit, even Snapchat, I don't know, you know, it provides the ability for you to take a picture, I guess. But I was just thinking, I don't know what I could see where what's that one where you listen to music and you subscribe to it?
Pandora.
No.
Spotify,
where you could, yeah, share what I'm listening to with my friends. But the main service is they allow you to listen to music. Then you just share. It's not just about sharing.
You know what? That's interesting, because I feel like I like Spotify. I actually feel like I would be way more likely to use the social aspects of it if it weren't just post to Facebook everything I listen to. Because, and I've said this before, I am oftentimes embarrassed by the music I listen to, and I don't want everybody knowing it. So, like, you know, but if there was a small group of people that I could, that it made it really convenient to share that, even if it was through my Facebook login, but none of it ever made it to Facebook, it mm-hmm. all stayed within Spotify, I'd be way more likely to use it. If they pushed that as a feature, as opposed to just, so what's goofy is you can share playlists with Facebook friends, like from Spotify to Spotify, but that's not the focus. What I'd like is a kind of in Spotify, keep it in Spotify, keep it in the network of people, you know, go to my Facebook list, but only the people I pick off my Facebook list who I want to, like, you know, talk mm-hmm. to, and keep them and allow us to kind of discuss and listen to music together. I'd be way more likely to use that aspect of a social music site than I would be, you know, using the Facebook part of it, mostly because I don't want to be judged. you know.
Yeah, interesting. I think we're hitting on a couple things.
Yeah.
So, Interesting indeed. And then the final one is that Americans actually share less than the rest of the world. How about that?
That's interesting. That's actually really interesting. That's really interesting because, like, you know, the narrative has always been that, you know, we're all self-obsessed, you know, we're all prima donna wannabe stars, and so we're always talking about ourselves no matter how boring our lives are. But I think part of the problem is that compared to other parts of the world, our lives can be pretty boring. Like, if you were in Turkey right now, yeah, I bet you share a lot more than most Americans.
Well, and this was the way that the wording of it is weird. It was, they said, like, for the rest of the world, like 24% of the people said they share most or everything. But that was only 15% for Americans. So it's like, less Americans share everything. But I have a funny feeling that we have a lot, we still share a lot. Or, how do I want to say it? Like, we'll use photos as an example. I go, no, I don't share every single photo. I only share every third photo. But I happen to take, you know, 3 to 6 photos a day. So I'm actually sharing 1 to 2 photos a day. Whereas in another country, they might be like, oh, yeah, I share every single photo, but I only take 2 or 3 photos a day.
Right.
You know, or something, you know, 1 or 2 photos a day, that's it. And so it's like, oh, it actually turns out to be the same amount of sharing. I just, in my situation, I don't call it everything, yeah. And then theirs it is. But so it's weird. That's the stats in me coming out, trying to deconstruct the nature of the how could this work either way? Which I often suck the fun out of stats when I do that. Because you're like,
you know what?
It's not as cool as it could have been.
Well, it doesn't. It's not as shocking, but I think it's more interesting when you deconstruct stats and you actually understand what it is that's being asked and how it's being asked. Because it, you know, it's a Freakonomics type thing. That's always the...
Yeah, well, I had... The one where I got myself into a lot of trouble was... It was... my wife works in a dual immersion school, and they were talking about the success of dual immersion students over non-dual immersion students. Yeah. And I started asking a whole bunch of questions about it and, like, what the survey was and how they... I was like, well, how do you know that? You know, because, like, it's interesting. Like, oh, well, they just ran a survey, and they found that they looked at test scores, and they dual immersion students did better than non-dual immersion. I was like, it sounds to me like the test really discovered that having parents who are involved in their students' lives tend to do better. Even when you put them in a hard situation of learning two languages while going to school at the same time. And she was like, well, you know, I was like, yeah, which I sucked all the fun out of that one because their whole value proposition was your student will be smarter because they were in dual immersion because we have the data to show that your students perform better when they get older. It's like,
well, that's the classic students who go to or kids who go to preschool tend to do better in elementary, middle, high school, college, and life in general. And you're like, wow, preschool really does make a lifelong difference. You're like, no. Parents who care send their kids to preschool.
Make a lifelong difference.
Parents who care, yeah. It's just that it's a symptom of the same thing, which, you know, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, which kind of, you know, sucked up because they were like, this is an amazing program. We're making students better. I'm like, no, you're really just filtering out the good parents from the bad. Which, hey,
that's
cool.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my goal in life is to,
But I'm kind of like, what if you could filter that out and then they didn't do dual immersion? How much better would they be? Or what if we decided to say, and instead of teaching them Spanish, we taught them computer science?
I did not make friends
when I started saying that because they were all invested in dual immersion.
I can't imagine why attacking people's jobs and careers and how they perform it would cause them to not like you.
Say that they were actually making the students' lives harder. They were succeeding despite them instead of because of them. Yeah, that went over really, really well.
Yeah.
But I was right, so that's whatever.
You see, this makes me feel better about my earlier comments about people who work at Verizon and AT&T. See, at least you're attacking teachers.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not attacking teachers. I'm attacking the model. But okay. That's different.
I'm sure they felt like that. That's how it was. That I'm sure they felt like you were attacking the statistics model and not them as as teachers.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But
I was just saying what they were saying was false. No, and then the best part here, we'll get real personal, is my wife was like, man, when we have kids, we should do the dual immersion. I was like, awesome. I would love for them to learn Mandarin because that's the language of the future.
Yeah, that's
yeah, that went over really well too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to learn Portuguese, and I won't because I think Portuguese is going to be as big as Mandarin. But
for the week that you're there, or
well, I do want to learn it for the week that I'm there, but I also want to learn it because I do think that I know for a fact that manufacturing is picking up in a big way down there. You know, building robots that build computers, and I like to build those sorts of things.
They have a pretty good startup culture too. I could see that.
True. And you know, it's Brazil. I mean, it's